It's Grab Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Last week we learned that Stu Durando was going to be calling it a career at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and we really wanted to get him on to talk about that and reflect upon his time with the Post-Dispatch, where he did a whole lot of things, and we still do that. But before we even get the chance to talk to him, he's already announced his next endeavor, so we get to talk about that as well. We do welcome Stu Durando onto the program. Stu, it's great to talk to you as always. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm sure you have done a fair amount of reflecting. You were at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today for a long time. You covered a whole lot of different things. How tough is it for you putting that into the rearview mirror?
I haven't had a lot of time to think of it. Now that I kind of ponder that, because it kind of came on so quickly. It was kind of a quick situation that occurred with layoffs and then a buyout offer and a decision to do that in fairly quick order. So I kind of had to make a quick evaluation of things, and probably wouldn't have decided to do it if I didn't think I could keep myself busy covering some St. Louis University stuff that I've been so immersed in. And so when I gave it some thought and came up with a way maybe that I could keep contributing in that area, I decided to go ahead and do it. But I had to kind of make a decision in less than a week, so it was kind of a rapid fire thing.
You're so connected to SLU now, but you probably don't remember me, but like, I remember the first time I came in contact with you. I was a kid working for the Stats Online, which at that point was the prep sports section of the Post-Dispatch, but we were kind of on our own little island, and every once in a while I'd be covering a game and you'd be covering that game as well. I mean, you go back to your prep sports and then everything else that you've touched on during your time. It was what a career, and what a legacy you leave of covering so many things and touching so many different things.
No, well, that's nice of you to say so. Yeah, those prep days, I mean, that was another century.
Mm-hmm.
When I started in 96 and was running the prep section at the Post-Dispatch. But those are good times. I always liked doing preps back then. And, you know, it's just kind of the nuts and bolts of stuff you learn on the way up. I mean, I was already in my mid-30s by that point. But, yeah, that was kind of the launching point for me at the Post-Dispatch into, the various college beats that I've covered and a lot of the professional sports that I was allowed to participate in helping to cover as well.
Is there a moment that stands out over any other moment of a game or an event that you were able to cover during your time?
Oh, probably the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl in 2000. I was down in Atlanta for the week with about 25 people from the Post-Dispatch. Back in the day when we used to send a lot of people on the road to cover things, photographers and designers and editors and writers, and just getting to cover that game was probably, one of the most lasting highlights of my career.
All right, so let's get to what you're moving on to. You've created a Substack. It is the Stew on SLU, which is a fantastic name, by the way. So congratulations on that.
Hopefully it'll just stick in people's minds.
Yeah, Stew on SLU. I like it. StewOnSLU.substack.com is where people can go. So for folks who have been so accustomed to reading your coverage of the Billikens with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, they now have the opportunity to do that here on the Substack.
Yeah, and it's a way, that was my first thought when I was deciding whether or not to step away. And, it's kind of a step that a lot of writers have taken who have either lost jobs or, left newspapers, decided to do other things. And so I just started, I didn't know a lot about it. Honestly, I'd heard about it, but I hadn't delved into it much. So I've been trying to do that, and I'm still learning it. But it's a way to basically control everything I write as much as I want. Try to edit myself a little bit and make sure I'm not getting too many mistakes in there. But it's really a point where I can do more than I've done in the past on SLU, because, in the paper, things are limited. And now I can write every day if I want. I can write twice a day if there's things to write. There's just an unlimited amount of space there, obviously, online. And my time is wide open, so I have plenty of time to put into it.
There's an opportunity to go, and you allude to this, you know, so much more in depth than you're able to, you know, do when you are limited by word count. Is that something that you're looking forward to? Just the whether it's stories of individuals or really diving into something that happens in a game, trying to be able to go that much more in depth than you were previously able to?
Yeah, especially with like profiles on athletes, coaches, or whatever it might be. There are always restrictions in terms of length, you know, not too horrible, but, you know, this gives the opportunity where if there's really a great story that can be told in a much longer format, that I don't have to worry about restricting myself and putting a limit on words, as you say. And in other areas, I think it'll just be a little bit more relaxed, maybe loose and fun writing, maybe a little more analytical than I might have done in the past in the paper, where I was just reporting on games or whatnot. So I think it just opens the door for some flexibility in the way I write.
The pivot comes at a good time because this is an incredibly compelling SLU basketball team, the story of a new coach, the story of those players coming in, the NIL stuff that's been going on with the athletic department where they've been punching above their weight in that area. You know, with all due respect to the athletic department, to the basketball program, compared to where they're at right now, a year ago this was kind of a boring program, and they're anything but boring right now. So it feels like there's more interesting, exciting things to be able to write about.
Yeah, it's certainly a preseason of great intrigue, and I think the interest is obviously, I think, a lot higher than it was maybe a year or so ago when, you know, it just things weren't looking real good, even in the preseason. And, you know, there's so much unknown with this team, but the coach in Josh Shirt is someone who has gained a lot of national recognition with what he did at Indiana State, and then bringing in two players from that team who got a lot of recognition for what they accomplished. And he's just kind of put together some other pieces that are really kind of fascinating as we watch them. I watch them in practice on many days. It's, you know, you try and envision what you might see on the court in a game. We got our first look on Friday night. In an exhibition game, impossible to judge really much from that because Avila didn't play. But you can just see that there's so many guys that have the potential to do things that could be really impressive. And you just wonder what it's going to look like, say, a month into the season.
In that game the other night, they're down at halftime, and then they turn it on in the second half, putting up 56 second-half points in that second half. What'd they shoot? They shot 60-something percent, 64%. Yeah, 64%. So, and like you said, Avila wasn't even in there. Now, Rockhurst isn't a D1 program, but that being said, they certainly did show some flashes of what they could be, especially in that second half.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a typical exhibition game, or was pretty messy for a while. Rockhurst actually kind of took it to them in the first half. They were more physical, and I think kind of took the Billikens by surprise a little bit. And, you know, they're going out there for their first game. They're trying to adjust to not knowing what they're going to see. And they did a fine job coming out in the second half, kind of, you know, forcing the tempo, forcing the way they wanted to play on Rockhurst, and kind of blew them out. But yeah, it was very messy at times, some poor shooting, and then the second half just flipped and everything went almost perfectly right for SLU.
We know the names like Gibson Jimerson and Isaiah Swope and the expectation of what those guys are going to be, but the guy who led the team in scoring was Amari McCautry, and he's a freshman out of the Milwaukee area, and somebody that this is the first time his name has probably been uttered on this show, and he certainly showed something shooting 5 of 7. Again, you don't take too much away from an exhibition, but it's interesting to watch one of those young guys be the guy who really came through in the exhibition.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who you're just not sure where he's going to play into the rotation, but showed great potential. Shirts has said several times that he feels that McCautry and another freshman, all of a sudden I'm Max Picard, maybe the two most talented players on the team, but maybe not ready to really contribute yet. Well, McCautry's trying to prove that he is ready to contribute. He's just a he's a 6'6 guard, but he looks like he's a senior. He's a freshman, true freshman, and he's just big and strong. He can get in the lane, draw fouls, and create things. He's had a turnover problem in practice some, and so he's just working through some things that freshmen work through. But that was a pretty impressive first showing.
The website is stewonslew.substack.com. What's the take folks through, like, what it takes to view your content and just everything that's going to be on there?
Well, you just go to exactly what you said. It's pretty it's a basic website, but you know, it's like having your own web page, but it's a little simpler than that. It's not all the bells and whistles of a normal web page, but for writers to post content. There's also a platform for videos and for podcasts, and I'm going to try and expand into some other areas once I get comfortable posting stuff on there. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of stuff that goes on, so I want to make it look decent, and I'm just going to continue to try and put stuff up. I don't know if it'll be on a daily basis, but it'll be quite regular. It's not just going to be men's basketball. It'll be women's basketball. I'm going to stick with the two soccer teams as they finish up their seasons, and maybe try and get to the NCAA tournament and some other things, other intriguing stories that come up along the way. I'm always open to people letting me know if they feel there's any intriguing, interesting stories that people might want to hear about over at SLU, and they're welcome to email me or contact me on Substack.
Stu Durando, now available on Substack. Again, stewonslew.substack.com. Stu, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck with the Substack, and I'm sure we'll ask you on here every once in a while moving forward.
That'd be great. I appreciate it, Matt.
All right, very good. Stu Durando joining us on the program. We are going to take a break, and when we return, back-to-back interviews, we're going to be joined by Blair Kirchhoff. What a remarkable win for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday when you consider everything that went down. We'll explain that and get Blair's thoughts on it. That's in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.